Boy, y'all been digging in the Word. Give me something to work with. Something been blessing you. 66 chapters of the Word of God. Isn't it? Wisdom. Wisdom. Need wisdom. Wisdom. How we break down wisdom? How do we break it down in the sense of simplifying the idea? What is wisdom? You have some knowledge that's involved, no doubt. Knowing what to do next, how to take the next step. Anything, having wisdom. That's why we need wisdom. To know what to do next. And from a biblical, eternal God standpoint, we need to know what to do next and be in harmony with the Lord. That's why this type of wisdom that we're talking about, God's wisdom, is very crucial. You know, some people have wisdom, but not a heavenly wisdom. They know what to do. They know how to take the next step in what they do or the field they work in or in everyday life, but it's not a heavenly wisdom. And what we want to have is that heavenly wisdom, God's wisdom, so that we can know what to do next and still be in harmony with Him in what we do, stepping with Him. And that type of wisdom is a gift that comes from above that He gives. And it is very, very fundamental. You take, for an example, Proverbs 2, that tells us that God has stored up wisdom for the upright. That's a wonderful thought to think about, that He's got a treasure chest stored up. How many of y'all remember going to the dentist? Remember going to the dentist when you was young or taking your kids? You got a ring, huh? You always look forward to getting into the treasure chest and getting you something. They don't have that at doctor's offices, do they? I wonder why it's just dental offices. Why is that, Stephanie?
Now at dental offices, you get a toothbrush and some toothpaste.
Yeah, they don't give you a toy no more, huh? They figured, let's give you something that will help you when you leave, huh? Instead of a little toy. The dentist. But think about that. For years, you remember growing up as a kid, going to the dentist, there was always something that you... how far back did that go, Mama Rob?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, like the health nurse would come and check all the kids.
At school?
At school, yeah.
Yeah.
And all my friends had to go to the dentist, but I didn't have to go, and it made me so mad. I wanted to go to the dentist.
Wanted to go to the dentist. You had good teeth. Yeah, good teeth. If some people, I guess just like anything else, some folks do have good teeth in the sense that they're not cavity prone. Some people's teeth are cavity prone. They can do all they can to floss and brush and keep them as clean and as they can, but still prone to get cavities. And some people do, some people don't. You was one of those that obviously had some good choppers and didn't have to go to the dentist. But I remember those days when them health nurses come to the school. Y'all, a word? Y'all remember, I remember that when they would come and they check your hearing, your eyes, and That was I wasn't part of that crew, I don't believe. That was after. You know what, I get that shot in the arm? See, I didn't get that. We didn't get that. They stopped doing it. You would have to go to you had to go get your shots at the health department. That was a requirement for school. But I don't have any scars from, you know, that round scar that a lot of you have? Things change. Now, I've had a bunch of shots in my life. I don't even know what kind of shots I got. Drop. How about that? See, I probably had something like that, but not through the school But in the Navy, I got a bunch of shots. So many shots, I don't even know what I got. Still don't even know all that they did. We was always getting shots. And like in boot camp, they'd put you in and you'd walk in a line. There'd be two people on both sides with the guns. And they'll boom, boom, hit you on both arms. You just walk. The next day, it'd be in the hip and or in the leg. And there was one that would give us that was bad. I don't even know the name of it. Because they would give us all the typhoids and all that. One had put a knot in your leg. And, I mean, the boys that was in the top racks, the bunks, when they would come out, they would every one of them would fall because they couldn't support themselves on their leg. Like the next day. Yeah. All right. A good dose of the Word of God's a good shot too, ain't it? Wisdom. Knowing what to do next. 3:5. It's a good word, isn't it?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. With all your heart. Rest in Him, huh? Acknowledge Him in all thy way, and He will do what? I like that parallel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding.
That's hard.
It is, because remember, God's ways are above our ways. He does things that sometimes just don't make sense to us. So we got to learn how to trust Him and not lean on what we understand about a situation, but put confidence in Him, and He's promised He'd direct us through it. That's a promise.
If we acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, you got to know who's leading.
Right. And the word acknowledge has the idea that we know who's leading, and we know who's leading because we sought out His leadership.
Right.
We've gone to Him and sought Him out. We've acknowledged Him, meaning we've cried out to Him. We've sought His face. We've gone to Him to find out what He says about a thing. There's some things we may not know because he doesn't say anything about. For an example, buying a car. There's nothing in the Word that's going to tell you what color to buy or what kind to buy or when to buy or you can't buy or a house or anything like that. There's nothing in the Word that tells you what specific church to be part of. But He's promised us when we cry out to Him, call on Him, seek Him, and He's given us clues in His Word what to look for and what to avoid, we can take His lead on it, step in it, and know that He's directing our path. And it's not as much as seeking what He would have for us as much as it is seeking Him. One of the most frustrating places we find or can be, and you could probably recognize this when I describe it, it's very frustrating for the believer to want to know and be in hot pursuit of what God has set you apart for, because it only leads to frustration when you're seeking wholeheartedly to know what God wants you to do. That don't make a lot of sense, because you would think that would be the best thing to do. But He never asks us or requires us to do that. What He does call on us to do is seek Him first. Be a wholehearted seeker. Seek Him. Pursue Him. And He then has promised to direct us in the course that He has chosen for us. He'll make sure we get to where He wants us to go when we seek Him. Psalm 16:11. We've talked about it a little bit since we've been in the Psalms. What does it say? That thou wilt show me the path of life, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy. But when we're pursuing that path apart from Him, you can't help but get frustrated because your eye is not upon Him. It's wanting to do, and it has a sense of nobility with it, wanting to do what God wants you to do. But when that becomes the priority over the priority of seeking Him, we find ourselves frustrated. And I know by experience, and I have counseled so many people just in passing, and one-on-one within the church, outside of the church, that find themselves in turmoil because they've been pursuing what God wanted them to do, but not really seeking Him. Makes all the difference in the world. Bride, yes, that is. Because salvation is all about Him, a relationship with Him. He's our salvation. So when it's all about where I'm going, but it has nothing to do with the person, there's some things that's out of order on that for sure. But that is a frustrating place to be. And I imagine you've been there before yourself where you really wanted to do, in your heart, you wanted to do what God wanted you to do, and you wanted to know it. And I mean, you wanted to know it as much as anything else you wanted to know. But you in that, you neglect the simplicity of seeking Him and just trusting that He's able to get you where He wants you to be. It's all a matter of trusting Him. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Trust Him. He'll get you to where He wants you to be.
It's like trying to find a church. When you're trying to, you want to do that, then you find a church.
Mm-hmm. You're looking for external things, right, and what's going to fit you better, and what's going to do good for you. And then people do that. That's human nature to do that. Mm-hmm. And that just goes back saying, Paul says it for us best in Philippians 3 when he says that I count everything loss that I may gain the all-surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. I want to know Him. And in knowing Him and the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection, so knowing that mark that he talks about running, that goal, that he said, I want to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. But what he said that superseded it all was knowing Him. Because it's knowing Him, fellowship with Him, intimacy with Him that takes care of what's next. Jesus said it, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and what? Everything else will kind of fall in its place. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, cover over your head. Those types of things are needful things, right? Amen. I mean, we can't survive from a physical standpoint without food and drink, being clothed and having a covering over our heads. Without those things, you're going to perish. So he took the essentials of physical life and said, look, don't worry about those things. That'll take care of itself when you put the priority of seeking the Lord first and His righteousness. He'll take care of that stuff for you. And He does. He's promised us that. But yeah, that is you see the progression of that psalm, I mean that Proverb 3:5. What does verse 7 say? Don't be wise, what? In your own eyes, which is saying what he just said, that if you think you can do these things, you know how to take the next step, but you're not trusting, you're leaning on your own understanding, you're not going to the Lord and acknowledging Him, therefore, He's not directing your path. You think you can take care of this. Don't be wise in your own eyes. That's gonna cripple you in these things. What's the following? What does it say? Keep reading.
Fear the Lord and
depart from evil. Remember, evil is anything that just doesn't have eternal value to it, right? Being confident in your own self rather than trusting the Lord is an evil thing. Not necessarily being involved in some bad things, but simply being wise in your own eyes. That's eternally of no value. What's verse number 8 say? That's right. Fearing the Lord, the wisdom that God has for us. verse 9, honor the Lord with what? With all thy substance, with all thy possessions, and the first fruits of? Honor the Lord. What's the word honor mean? When you honor something, what's that mean? As the idea of giving place to, that's right. But what else? Honoring.
Respect.
Look up the word, Stephanie. You was looking up the word a minute ago. On your tool. Here, I got a tool that'll come up. See what it says, the Touch Bible. You have to find it. Honor. To respect, to give place, preference to, priority to.
Lift.
There's different applications of honor. But honor has the idea of when you give place to something or priority to something or respect to something, you lift up something. It has the idea of promoting something. You promote something with a sense of heaviness to it, you with weight. You promote it with a legitimate weight that supports why you honor this particular thing. It means to promote with weight. What you got there? Huh? Read it.
It's got several.
Different applications used in context.
To be heavy.
To be heavy.
In a bad sense, burdensome. Or in a good sense, numerous, rich, honorable, to make weighty. In the same two senses. Abounding with, more grievously afflict, boast.
For an example, if you I took a picture while I was in Tuscaloosa a couple of weeks ago of a car. Y'all might have seen that. I posted it earlier. It was somebody's car. It was a new car, man. They had it decked out in... You knew no question on whose team they was for. What's old Bear Bryant's hat? It's the Hound's Tooth. The whole car was Hound's Tooth.
A net around it?
like a yeah. Yeah. No, this and that you, what you saw may have been this one was a new vehicle. White car and a net. This one was actually the Hound's Tooth. I guess it was a wrap on it, or there's no way it was painted just like that. It had to be a wrap because the whole thing was Hound's Tooth. And so that's obvious. I called it the Bama-mobile. You know, they are promoting Alabama. And they doing it weighty. They doing it with some weight behind it. They are honoring Alabama in their with their vehicle. That they are a fan, per se. And that's what this passage is referring to, is that promote the Lord with a sense of heaviness, with weight, legitimate weight that supports your claims, but do it with all that you have, with all your possessions. Meaning everything that you have is a tool that you use to promote the name of Jesus. Your life, your resources, all that is to be used to promote Jesus. Honor the Lord with all your possessions. And then he narrows it down to say, and with the first fruits of your increase, that your barns may be filled, right? That is saying, not just your tithe per se, but your first fruits, but iron him with everything you got. Whatever's yours, use it to point people unto him and give him the glory for it. Promote him. Be a fan that lives for him. Amen? And You keep on reading down. Yeah, yeah, you want it to be legit. It's got to be. That's why the weightiness comes in, that it's a legit thing. It's, I'm not just a fan, but I am a fan that lives for him. You know, some people live for Alabama football. That ain't going to amount to nothing when time's over, right? What's that going to do for you? Same way with other, you know, some people, they honor or live for Mississippi State ball, LSU ball, whatever it may be, Ole Miss. They eat and breathe. That's all they looking up. And they do what they do. They work so that they can play and be involved and go to. And all that is in the end, that's not going to amount to a whole lot, is it, when it's all said and done? But taking everything you have and using it for God's glory is a whole nother ball game. And thankfully so, we can do that because of his grace. And it just goes on. Proverbs 3 is a tremendous word. I like as you get down toward the all of it's great, but it get toward to the end about the Lord being your confidence and who you put your trust, and he'll keep your foot from stumbling, being caught. And that he talks about some sleep. What does he say about sleep?
When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
That's a good thing. Sleep is good, right? Especially sweet sleep. That's saying that you're going to, because you've honored the Lord, you've trusted him, you're dependent on him, you know that he's going to take care of you. He's already proven that, and you're going to rely upon him. So you're not staying up late. Psalm 127 says that it's vain for a man to stay up late and to rise up early and eat the bread of sorrow. For the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. Meaning it's vain for us to stay up late at night, and the reason we stay up because we can't sleep, because we're concerned about things being taken care of, about what's going to happen tomorrow, how things are going to work out tomorrow, or we're going to be able to put food on the table tomorrow, those types of things. And you can't sleep at night because of an overwhelming worried about everything, so you rise up early, and your provision, you're feeding off of sorrow. He said that's not what the beloved or the upright in the Lord, that's not what he designed for us to do. We're designed to be confident in him, that he's going to take care of things for us and we can trust him. We've positioned ourselves to seek him, to be in the right place, and he's going to come through. We can depend on him to take care of us, to take care of our needs, our whatever it is. He's going to take care of that. I don't have to worry about it. Now, I understand that it may come to mind. I may be a legitimate concern, but I'm able to turn it over to him because, like Pam said Sunday, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Mm-mm. And if there's something that we got to go through, he's going to use that, right? He's going to use it. Like Mama Rob said, he's going to use that in my life to make me more like Jesus. So I don't have to worry about it. Even though it's something that should be worried about, I don't have to worry about it because he's going to be my confidence. He's going to take care of me. And Psalm 3, David makes a point in Psalm 3 that even though the enemy encamped around him and hundreds of tens of thousands of people surrounded him, he said the Lord sustained him at night while he slept, and he slept peacefully. Psalm 3. Then it's turn to Psalm 3. Let's see what he says. He says something like that. I know I paraphrased it. But it's in light of that he was in the middle of a place where he could have been easily caught. But he had to lay his head down and rest and ultimately depend on the Lord to protect him while he was most vulnerable, asleep from the enemy. Now, we don't necessarily have an enemy who is pursuing us with swords and bows and all that at night while we're exposed to the elements. he's saying that I was in a position where I could have been under attack. I mean, it was a known threat. I'm on the run as a result of the enemy. He's pursuing my life. He wants to kill me, to slew me. But God has given me rest. In the midst of it, he's protecting me. How does it read? Somebody read it. Somebody in the back read it. Read it to us. So everybody up front can hear it. Janet, read it for us. Psalm 3. Just start number verse 1. Man, that's a good word, isn't it? I think, Stephanie, didn't she play that song for y'all in Sunday school a couple weeks ago? Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. The Brooklyn Tabernacle, that's that psalm there. That's just a great picture of the idea that we're talking about, what Proverbs 3 talks about, who Solomon wrote these things, who Solomon's daddy was David, who taught him how to be confident in the Lord, and you see it here. David is simply just saying that they continue to multiply. The numbers keep multiplying on how many are after me. But I laid down and I rested, and the Lord sustained me. And then his next statements are is that the Lord broke the cheekbone of the enemy and shattered his teeth. That picture of a lion whose jaw's been broken, teeth's been knocked out. God has de-armed him. He can't get his mouth on you and bite you and crush your skull because God has stepped in and done something. He don't realize that's happened to him, but God has protected me, and I can rest in that. Good. Been able to sleep with sweet sleep at night. Look in Proverbs 1 real quick before we go. Proverbs 1 is that one of those passages that help us see that. I think it's verse about 20. What's verse 20 say? 20, 21, what does that say? Wisdom cries aloud. Cries aloud outside in the streets, in the chief concourses, which is simply saying that wisdom cries out where people are, that God uses people. That's what that point is being made. It's where people gather. People gather in the streets and then the highways and the chief concourses where people meet. So that clues us in that God uses people to communicate his wisdom to people. It's how he speaks to people, through his people. Of course, based on his word, by his word. But we are the people for whom God uses on the jobs, in town, where we live, where people gather, in the churches, to speak aloud, to bring a word. And he gives this process that's basically saying that he was willing. He wanted to pour his spirit upon them, but they would not have none of it. So they go through this difficulties and these troubles, and they get to a place where they in a fix. And they know they need wisdom. They need an answer. So they start crying out, God, help me. But God says, it's that time that I'll be silent and not give an answer. Because I was showing you mercy in at that time that I was using people to help you, but you wouldn't listen to them. You paid them no attention. And now you have to eat the fruit of your own fancy. And we see that. It could happen to you and me as well. That's why we have to have that ear where we're tuned in, that we're always listening for the Lord to give us wisdom on how he wants to feed us and provide and take care of, instead of just turning things off and drifting off in a no man's land and not hearing from the Lord. You see, you get to that place, you, before you know it, you're at a place where you really no longer hearing from him, you're no longer seeking him, you're no longer picking up your word and digging. And then you go through some troublesome time in your life and difficulty mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and you wonder, why am I going through this? Well, there was a point in time when we was hard to the word and not soft and tender. It's kind of like that pavement out there, out up underneath the pavilion in the back. There's a few spots where a few leaves fell on that concrete when it was curing, when it was still soft. And you can see that those leaves, that impression of it, just as clear as a bell, perfect. Sunk down just a little bit. That little bit of light leaf just slowly sinking down and left its impression upon it when that concrete was soft, pliable. But when we're hard to the word of God, like that concrete, you can drive a truck on it now, and you're not going to leave no mark on it. You're not going to make no impression on it whatsoever. Well, the same thing applies to us when our hearts are not soft and tender before the Lord, sensitive to his voice, his leading. His grace doesn't mark us. What happens is we just tune it off and turn it away, and we go on with that bitter, hard spirit. And then that affects people rather than having an impact on people's lives for the glory of God. That's how those, remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about those gifts that had no value to them? That's when we start giving those kind of things away rather than imparting something of wisdom from the Lord. So it's good. It's good to see how this works, that every day of our lives we are engaging and encountering people. Sometimes we have an impact on them. Sometimes they will have an impact upon us. And that's all in relation to how sensitive we are to the Lord and his spirit, being at a place where we want God to work with us and use us, and we're seeking him, acknowledging him, leaning on him, trusting him, honoring him, which all builds to having confidence in him. Amen?
Amen.
Good, good reading in the word of God. I love what that says. Of all the things you can gain in the world, none of it can compare to possessing wisdom from God.
Amen.
What he says, you have all the wealth in the world and things, whatever it may be, none of it can compare. And that's where we want, God, help me see that. That we want that kind of wisdom. Help me see that possessing your wisdom supersedes everything else that this world can offer me. It supersedes it all. Having a mind to see that, eyes to see it, and a heart that understands that. I want to have that. Because it's if that's the way God sees it, that's the way I want to see it as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Seeing things his way. Well, anybody have anything you want to add, share, say, do before we go?
I like that.
Amen. Amen.
I like that Proverbs 2, the 4th and 5th verse.
Yes. Those then and only thens, right?
And I've got circled here.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We'll work as hard as we work for a dollar in seeking the Lord. It's then, and I always add those then and only then will we find the knowledge of God and understand the fear of the Lord. And then the rest of it. And those are key words all through there. The little words, the ifs, the thens, the whens, the thats, the so, the fall, all those are the key words all through there, and they follow a progression and to help us. I think it's a key to the whole book of Proverbs, to life, is found in those passages right there.
I found a verse that I was looking
for. What you find, brother?
Romans, the end of Romans 19. I would have you wise unto which is good.
Yes. 16:19.
Yes. And I would have
simple.
Simple concerning evil.
Simple. Innocent.
Streetwise is not good for godly people.
Yeah. You know, the idea of sometimes you've heard that old kids got to go sow their wild oats. That verse right there would nullify that and say, no, that's not God's design.
That's right.
Now, they can learn things and they can learn from other people doing things, but that's not God's design. The heart of it is to be wise in that which is good and simple. Simple meaning what? You just don't know evil. You don't expose yourself to it. You're simple-minded when it comes to evil things. You know, our culture thinks that. Oh, they're so innocent when they get off and go somewhere, they're going to be a prey. They're just going to overwhelm them. Well, the scriptures, the admonition from the Lord says that I would rather you be simple concerning dark things, unaware, not knowing things about it, and being wise in things which are of noble value. Because when you're there, it's light, and light always exposes darkness.
Amen.
Always. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. A humanistic, worldly philosophy says that a young person, a kid, a teenager, young adult, needs to be more aware of the way the world works. That's not a biblical idea. That's a man-centered idea.
Amen.
Granddad used to tell us when we were homeschooling our children that if it was bad for them not to be where everybody else was, that we needed to let them go and
Yeah, because they'll get off and go buck wild crazy once they get a taste of it. I understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. We learn, and we can learn from other people doing things. That's all part of it. But yeah, that's the admonition that the Lord gives to His people. Look, don't go dabbling in all that. That ain't gonna make you a better servant of the King.
Amen.
That's what He's saying. And He says it won't be long. It won't be long. You keep reading, it won't be long. You're going to stomp Satan's head underfoot. That's what He says.
Amen.
Won't be long. You'll stomp the old serpent's head underfoot. Him be the glory. Now, if you do dabble off in the stuff, we still have a great promise that God's able to work it all together, ain't it? For good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? I done got hungry.
Amen.
Father, we thank You and bless You and give You glory and praise. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for teaching us. We pray for wisdom. We pray that we can see things the way that You desire us to see them, and that You would help us, show us compassion, that we can be compassionate, merciful, that we can show mercy, and that we can reach people, help people, and walk in the light of the revelation that You have given. So we just give You the praise. Thank You for this practical wisdom that we're consuming and enjoying, indulging ourselves in this, Your book of Proverbs. We pray that You help us, teach us, guard our heart, and thank You for sweet sleep. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Y'all have